Let us pray together. O Lord Jesus Christ, ruler of heaven and earth, your beauty on the mountains as you came to deliver the message of the kingdom of God has drawn us to you. We hunger to hear your word, to be moved by the grace of your touch, and to follow you in discipleship. So speak to us now and draw us to yourself. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the third in a series of five sermons on Jesus' pathway of discipleship. The gospel is made up of the pattern of Jesus walking mostly with disciples through the life and teaching those disciples to take responsibility for the ministries and mission that Jesus was accomplishing, that they might be able to do what Jesus was doing in the world. Jesus invites us into that pattern of discipleship. Jesus invites us to walk with him in life and to learn to live life his way. And so we are looking at the way that Jesus touches us by grace and draws us into his presence, the way that Jesus puts us into small group communities and trains us to follow in disciplines and patterns of life. And today we look at how Jesus calls us into mission and ministry as we are gifted to do so in the context of going in teams. Jesus is the focus of all the ministry. Jesus' grace is the experience of relationship that calls us to go with him as we walk with him on the way. It is about Jesus inviting us to share in ministry and mission with him. It is about Jesus' invitation for us to become partners in the mission that he has in this world. One of my favorite cartoons is a cartoon of ancient Egypt with a slave driver sitting on top of a large stone that's about to be put into the pyramid. It is being pulled along by several dozen slaves. At the top of that pyramid, the slave driver trying to win over the support of the people who are pulling the stones says, "Believe me, fellows, from Pharaoh on down, each of you is an equally valued member of the team." Jesus does not lead like Pharaoh does. Jesus invites us to come alongside, and he walks with us, and we become partners along with him in the ministry and mission that he gives us to do. The grace of Jesus calls us out individually that we might have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that grace also calls us together out of the crowd to be in communities of people, in families that go together following Jesus in the world. Jesus himself said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst." When we gather in the name of Jesus, no matter how small the group, Jesus is there to teach us and to lead us, to make sure that we are continually empowered by grace to go. So the Spirit of God not only calls us out, but gathers us. In fact, the very essence of the word church in the New Testament is about being called out of the crowd and into the community, the group with Jesus, ecclesia. And so we want to be a part of that church. Those various groups and families who gather together wherever they are to learn of Jesus and to walk with Jesus on the way. The grace of Jesus gives us power and authority. Jesus is here with the disciples and he says, "To you I give the power and authority to cast out demons and to heal people." That is, to the disciples who follow him, Jesus gives power to do so. To say no to disease and demons, and to proclaim the kingdom of God. Some of those demons haunt the very groups that we share life together within. The very teams that are invited to go out into ministry and mission have some of these dysfunctions that haunt us and do not permit us to do the work well. In a recent book by Patrick Lencioni called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, he suggests that universally there are five things that teams that gather together to do a task fail to do. There's an absence of trust, a fear of conflict, a lack of commitment, an avoidance of accountability, and an inattention to results. I suggest to you today that Jesus does not want the team to be dysfunctional. Jesus is inviting the team to follow him, and that grace would heal not only diseases of the team, but would then turn and help the team to heal the diseases of the people and to cast out the demons. When Michael Jordan was becoming a star and the Chicago Bulls were a good team, they became a much greater team when something happened in the inside spirit of Michael Jordan. He decided that he would stop calling attention to himself. He recognized that his predetermination, his predilection to be the star and to make it happen himself, was not making them a good team. And so we began to meet together personally, face to face, in small sessions with every one of the team members. And he began to work in relationship with them to develop himself and to develop him. It was in those smaller team contexts of working and nurturing their skills together that they moved from being an okay team or a good team to becoming a great team. Michael Jordan empowered the rest of the team. Jesus wants to empower us not just to be good at what we do, but to be great at what we do. That grace of Jesus is poured out into the teams of people who go into ministry and mission together. Not that we would call attention to ourselves and our own giftedness, but that we would support and encourage one another to recognize that the giftedness is of the whole community together that goes into ministry and mission. That grace of Jesus calls out the disciples and sends them out to do things beyond their comfort zones, to go and to proclaim beyond their own villages, to heal and to cast out demons beyond their own places of experience, and to go to new places, to do ministry in the church and mission in the world. Jesus sends those disciples out two by two. He does not send them out alone. The Bible is clear in all places that it is not good to be alone. Jesus does not expect that an individual person is going to carry the authority and the power to do what he wants them to do alone. It is always in the experience of a team gathered that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ permeates the relationship and empowers the people to do what he has called them to do together. Those that Jesus gathers together and teaches are the ones who are sent out and scattered into the world in small group teams to be able to do the work of Jesus. If you are out there in the world today and you are alone in your office, you are alone on the field of work, on the team in which you are doing mission or ministry together, it is not a good thing. You need to be with others who love you and support you, who walk with Jesus and can pray with you so that you are not alone. If you cannot take the group with you, then have the group meet on a regular basis to pray for you and support you so that you know that people are there in spirit praying for you during the day while you are out there dealing with the demons and the dysfunctions of everyday life. It is not good to be alone. I was talking with Wycliffe missionaries not too long ago. They said the big shift in Wycliffe mission had to do with their earlier determination to send Wycliffe people out by themselves to do that work out there in faraway places, and the discovery that that was not as successful as sending a whole team out in one place to work together. When I'm discussing this with the Wycliffe team that I was with, they said it is terrible to be out in the environments of a different culture with different people and disconnection of language alone. It is important to be a part of a team. This is the foundational movement of Jesus sending people out to do work and tasks and ministry and mission. It is not good to go alone. In his book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, Patrick Lencioni talks about the foundational dysfunction of every team is usually a lack of trust. You can go out and you can do the work. You can accomplish what you are told to accomplish as individuals, but you cannot do it as a team unless you build trust. This is the core thing of the nature of the church. Unless we trust each other, we will be working at the same place, but we will not be working together. It is true in the church, as it is in any secular context, that it is the lack of trust, the lack of faithfulness between human beings who follow Jesus together that often undermines the ability of the church to do its ministry and mission. I believe too often we as Presbyterians are so focused on getting the work done that we don't take time to build the trust in relationships. I had a meeting this past week with a few people from our presbytery, and this was the issue in point. Are we so busy making decisions and debating things and wrestling with the task that we do not care about each other at all? I would say today, in anticipation of our General Assembly, there is a great amount of distrust in the team. I have people asking me almost every week, do you think the Presbyterian Church is going to make it into the future? And my answer is, I don't think we're going to make it unless we can build trust. Even if we were to agree theologically without trust, without a sense of the deepening relationships of the grace of God in our lives, we don't have a chance. And so it is that not only Presbyterians in committees, but also Presbyterians in real life out there and doing things in the marketplace, without trust, we will not make it. Particularly, we'll not move from being good to becoming great, because we do not have the prayer and support and nurture of a group of people who are on our team. The grace of Jesus, according to this part of the gospel, tells the disciples to travel light. In a sense, Jesus is saying, don't take your baggage with you. We come into worship today, and most of us bring quite a bit of baggage with us. This is not just the physical baggage of all of the luggage that the disciples could have taken with them, but this is the emotional baggage of what we bring in our minds and our hearts, our experiences, our frustrations, our resistances, our ambivalences, our traumas from the past. And that baggage undoes the ministry and the mission. Sometimes we have so much baggage that when we hear another person speak, we don't really hear that person speak. We hear the voice of our mother or father back there, or somebody who did damage to us when we were young. We can't let that baggage go. And it hurts the team. Jesus is clear in his exhortation to the disciples, when you go, go light. Do not take the baggage with you. Jesus did say at another place, if you have heavy burdens, then lay them on me. For I am the one who can give you comfort and a sense of lightness, because I love you and care for you and can release you from holding on to those bags. In his book, Ain't Coming Back, Dolphus Weary, African-American man who does ministry in Mendenhall, Mississippi, talks about his going to Los Angeles out of Mississippi when he was a college-age young person. He had nothing to take with him except for his friend Jimmy Walker. They didn't have any money. They didn't really have that much clothing. All they could take was themselves. And he said that's the lesson he learned, that that's enough. To take Jesus and themselves in the team and in the community to be there in relationships with other people, two black men in a white culture. They discovered that that was enough because Jesus was in their team. Jesus was in their basketball team. And Jesus was building relationships when they met new people. Travel light. This is the struggle we all go through when we venture too into places that are new for us. I was hearing the story of a mission team from another church that went to South America recently. They, as the typical pattern of a fairly well-to-do Anglo church, went down to South America with an extra bag of cash in hopes that they could distribute that to the poor. They, when coming off the plane, were venturing into the inner city, and they happened to drive by and see, at that moment, a team of soccer players playing on the street. And as they watched, the ball rolled out in the street and a car ran over and flattened the soccer ball. Immediately, the team decided it would be good if they could just go and buy the team a new ball. And they did that. Here it is. A little bit later, on a Sunday following that, they were in a worship service and they noticed that it was such a poor group of people that there was no money in the offering plate as it went back and forth. So the team decided they would take out a $100 bill and put it in the offering plate. Well, by this time, the coach of the mission team had had enough and said, "You don't know what you're doing. You have come packed with all this money and you haven't brought yourselves. You're sharing the wrong thing. Should not be pouring out the money bags. You should be pouring out of yourself, listening to these people, working with these people, and playing with these people. It is not about the money. It is about you." That is the kind of mission experience that we intend to keep developing here at NPC. You are the gift going on the mission trip. You are the gift of the team doing the ministry. It is not the stuff that you have. It is not the education that you have. It is not all the accoutrements of life that you've built up. It is not the clothes that you wear. It is the person that you are. Jesus sends people out as gifts. Gifts because Jesus has come into their life and has changed their life and has given them the freedom to become fully human to other human beings. And as Jesus sends the disciples out, he is saying to them, "Don't take anything with you. Just go as yourselves, as your being and relationships demonstrate to the world the kingdom of God." The team has the gifts of people and relationships. That's the thing that we take with us. It is important to see that Jesus gives gifts for the mission and ministry we have, and the gifts are the people and the relationships that go together. Oz Guinness, in his book, Rising to the Call, says this about people who go on a call with their sense of giftedness. "Often we look at our giftedness as something that is good for us, rather than as an act of service or stewardship to the people around us. Our gifts are not ours. Our gifts belong to others." Calling is not so much you are what you do, but do what you are. I've talked to people recently who go into retirement, and one of the struggles of retirement is, "I have been doing these things for years and now I'm not going to do them any longer. Who am I?" We've lost the gift. We go through that struggle of discovering who God has made us to be when we have lost the work that God has given to us to do. We discover that Jesus has called us to be the gift, not what we do. I have taken gift tests, like many of you, and I have my list of tests of things that I've done well or that I don't do well. Just to let you know, in the more recent gift test I took, I come out with strengths in the areas of teaching, leadership, pastoring, and organizing. But then you look at the bottom of the list and the things that I do very poorly: evangelism and hospitality. If you are looking to me to create a warm and hospitable environment, please look someplace else. It is important that we have people on the team who do well at that. While I teach and I preach, I am not a good personal evangelist. I'm learning how to do that, even as I grow a little bit older. But we have parts of us who are, because we're on teams, able to make a contribution so that we together go and we balance each other out with a sense of working together, because Jesus gives gifts that are together on teams. My final comment is this. When the disciples go out into the world, they are called to go and stay in the house that they are welcomed into. Jesus is saying, disciples, go and build relationships deep and more deeply and intimately in the particular house, and do not go house to house. It is important that we invest deeply in the community of people with whom we are doing ministry, with whom we are going into mission. If we go into mission, to be in homes with people where we visit in that mission area, and to stay there and to keep developing those relationships. I watched this happen with John Stott, very famous apostle of the Anglican Church, who tours around the world visiting and teaching about the kingdom of God. I watched John Stott in a household that he would often visit on his trips through Pennsylvania, take the time to dig deeper into the relationship to get to know the family with which he was staying. And he would keep a written card on every person that he got to know. And he would keep going back to that same household over and over again, because he knew that he needed to develop deep roots and relationships for the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying clearly to the disciples, you are the gift. Build the communities. Build the relationships. Yes, you're going to do some things together, but don't get caught up in the doing so much that you forget it's about being and loving the people that you are with. And so it is today that we are called to go into ministry and mission teams. We are called not to go alone. We are called to be the gift in our relationships, in our individual beings, as we share ourselves with others. And we are called to empower other people with the grace of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. So do not go alone. It is time that we work together, that we build trust, and we go deep into intimate relationships that will help us accomplish our tasks. That is the nature of the kingdom of God. To that we commit ourselves in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help us to follow you like the disciples followed you. And may you give us power and authority to heal and to cast out demons, because we know you love us and you help us to love one another. Send us into ministry in the church and mission beyond the church in teams, so that we in our relationships carry the love of Jesus Christ among us, in whose grace and name we pray. Amen.